What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Trust the Podcast on Sikkim365.com. And this ought to be the most interesting podcast we have ever done because it is now being recorded in a world that we have not quite seen before. This is all new territory for us, everything that's going on due to the coronavirus in this country and worldwide. And so we're going to try to not be totally serious the entire time because we know everybody needs a little bit of a break from the serious, but obviously these are serious times. And so a lot of what we will talk about today is obviously the aftershocks or the effects of what's gone down over really the past week or so in this country. I had a 27-hour stay in Kansas City that we'll tell you about. Obviously, as well, a lot of what ifs when it comes to Baylor sports and what could have been with so many different sports this spring. But Craig Smoke with you, as always, formerly host of UNR weekdays 12 to 3 on ESPN Central Texas, but that's no longer the case. That's another effect of the coronavirus. But still, team reporter, Sikkim365.com, and co-host of this podcast because it's not just me. It's also Grayson Grunhafer, director of broadcasting, and also Sikkim365.com team and recruiting reporter. And Grayson, I apologize for the long preamble, but obviously there's a lot to talk about, my man. And how are we doing this week?
Could be doing better. I think a lot of people are probably saying that right now. But yeah, it's just been absolutely insane to see kind of the effects of this virus and just how it's affecting people all over the world. And obviously it's hit a lot, you know, closer to home now because it's in the States and it's increasing much more rapidly. And yeah, I mean, it's been really, really tough. You know, March Madness is gone. NBA is gone. All the sports at Baylor and across the country are gone right now. So there's no sports, no nothing like that going on. And then it's kind of just this wait and see thing with football too, because I don't think that that's completely out of the water either yet. So there's a lot to kind of reflect on right now. But right now, I mean, it's pretty much just the safety of the country, honestly, is kind of the biggest thing that I'm worried about. But yeah, I mean, definitely with sports being gone, it makes things a lot more difficult in our industry.
Yeah, it does, man. This is, you know, unprecedented. This is uncharted territory, uncharted waters, whatever you want to call it, for everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter what color you are, what gender you are. Like, everybody is walking around right now with just emotions, you know, galore all over the map. And so we're going to try to provide some laughs today and definitely provide as much info as we can. But yeah, I mean, the things that we were supposed to be talking about this week, Grayson, we were going to be coming in here. I was going to have been fresh off 4 days in Kansas City. What I expected to be 4 days, because I definitely expected to still be there on Sunday to at least see the Lady Bears and potentially the Baylor men as well. But I only spent 27 hours in Kansas City. So we can start there, or we can start why I am now calling myself formerly midday host on ESPN Radio, which I assume most people probably want to hear first, because I see a lot of questions on Twitter. And quite frankly, I just don't want to be on social media right now. And it's not because of even that. I just haven't really wanted to have been on social media for the last couple of days. So where do you think we should start, Grayson?
Yeah, I think we should start there because I think everyone's going to be wondering that while we're talking about Kansas City. So, yeah, let's start with that, man.
Yeah, okay. So, been at ESPN Central Texas for over 5 years now, like 6-7 years at this point, and it's been a fun ride. First 2 years I was there, got to see Baylor football win Big 12 titles for the first time in history, and I got to see the first two seasons I was here. And just, you know, obviously it's been very up and down. It's been a roller coaster in covering Baylor athletics. And I am not wanting to cover Baylor athletics anymore. I'm hoping to continue to do that. I'm hoping they come back sooner rather than later. And that goes for not just Baylor athletics, but all athletics. But the bottom line with the radio gig is this, is when this started to kind of creep up, the coronavirus, it wasn't, I don't think, on a whole lot of people's radars. It was starting to get on mine a bit earlier than most people's, though, to the point of when we started talking about our plans for the Big 12 tournament, it was determined that Q and I, who is my co-host, or was my co-host on the show for these past few years, we were going to go up to Kansas City and do our show from up there. And we're like, cool. But at the same time, while he was all gung-ho, because he's gung-ho about like any trip, any outing, any whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, he wants to go and do it. So whereas he's all gung-ho about it, I was a little bit more hesitant. And big part of the reason why was because all the stuff I was seeing in the news. And it wasn't so much like, oh my gosh, I'm scared, I'm going to travel and go get it. It was more like, man, if this thing hits here pretty soon, which it's pretty much on schedule to, like, I don't know, like just the whole outlook of the tournament and all that. I never in a million years thought I was going to get canceled. I had a very uneasy feeling about just the whole trip in general, if that makes sense. And so, sure enough, my feeling was right because it was only there for a day. But bottom line is, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. The bottom line was, you know, once we came back from that and nothing was changing except for more and more cancellations, and now you're hearing MLB, oh, well, we'll try to come back by May. But then now it's like at least mid-June or mid-July before they're even thinking about coming back. And, you know, NFL free agency, it's been what, Grayson, like 36 hours and it's already starting to fizzle out pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much. And
yeah, so yeah. It's like I had been wondering, what are we going to talk about? There's only so much, you know, Mount Rushmore talk you can do, or what's your greatest memory of this? I mean, how many times can you do that? So I was already a bit nervous about that whole thing anyways, but sure enough, you know, with no events to cover and with the payroll just staying as it is, but not as much money expected to be coming in, you know, it's just business. And our owner who, you know, it's almost a relief in some ways, honestly, not being there anymore. But our owner, you know, had to look at the situation and determine what was best for him. And the decision was made to let go several people from ESPN. I'm not sure about any of the other stations that he has. I doubt it. He's pretty chummy with a lot of those people. But I don't think he's going to have a choice, honestly, on that too much longer in the future either. But that's beside the point. As a cost-cutting measure and a timing thing, I got let go, and I don't want to speak on anybody else, but, you know, Smokey's a free agent as well, and there's a couple of other people. He was originally scheduled to still be on, but I don't know. Like, who knows what happened. I got in and got out once we had our little meeting or whatever. But, yeah, they're going to do whatever they end up doing. I wish whoever ends up staying on there, the very best. Those are all really good dudes. A few of them I've worked with for like several years now, been on several trips and whatnot with Q in particular. So yeah, going to miss doing a show with him and miss, you know, different parts of it, but there's a lot I won't miss as well. So, you know, I'm kind of trying to take this in stride. I don't know about everybody else, but yeah, it's going to be a different world, certainly not getting up 5 days a week as I have for years and years and years now here and in Tyler, and not be doing a radio show. But I mean, then again, what was I going to be talking about, you know, right now? So yeah, man, it was very quick how this is all unfolded, kind of like everything else, you know, like how the Big 12 tournament started and then it was over. That was kind of like that trip was like the start of this snowball downhill that just gained a ton of momentum in the last, you know, 24 or so hours. And I was at least expecting it somewhat. So I wasn't caught off guard. Like, I knew when a meeting was called, the time my show was starting, you know, it's like, okay, I know what that means. I've been here before. And so I was expecting it. I know the other guys were pretty much expecting it as well. So thankfully none of us were caught off guard. Now granted, it wasn't one of those things where it's like you had a couple of weeks to kind of mentally prepare. Like I said, it happened so quickly. But, yeah, that's the bottom line. ESPN's going to be much different to listen to. I don't know what it's going to be exactly, but I know there's going to be maybe like a local show on there. Who's involved with that, I have no idea. I have an idea, but that's none of my business anymore. And, yeah, I'm just going to see what happens from here, Grayson, but I'm on quarantine as far as I'm concerned. That's how I'm looking at this. I'm on quarantine. Bad part about the quarantine, other than just that it was quarantine, is that don't have that regular paycheck I've had for the last few years coming in. But you know what? That's thousands of people right now, if not what's going to be millions when all is said and done. So I had a really good run there, did a lot of cool stuff, went a lot of cool places. but there is a part of me that's like relieved, if that makes any sense as well. So yeah, man, I hope to still continue to, you know, cover Baylor in some capacity with this site and with whatever else may happen in the future, whatever that may hold. I think all of us are kind of wondering that right now, but that's what happened. So yeah, meeting today, and just like that, the whole landscape of sports radio in Waco is certainly different, and coverage of Baylor as it stands right now will be different. But then again, it's gonna be like the theme of the show. What are we covering in you know, as far as that goes right now, because they're on lockdown, and you know, we saw the news earlier this week on graduation being pushed back, which I'm sure we will get more into. But as far as the ESPN Central Texas thing goes, yeah, that's basically what happened earlier today, and I'm all good, man. So hopefully those other guys are as well, and you know, we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah, and I you know, saw Smokey's tweet today, and I was wondering, you know, what that was gonna look like. So you know, obviously really, really, you know, sad for you guys that had to happen like that. And it's happening all over the country, like you mentioned. And so, you know, I'm sure y'all, I mean, the way that you're talking about it seems like you're super, you know, upbeat about it, like what's next kind of mentality. And I think that's kind of what you got to be at right now. So, yeah, super unfortunate. I know, you know, Waco as a whole, I know I've, you know, gone through some of these messages that were on the message board, and people just talk about how they're going to miss 1660, and basically just if they have to listen to Stephen A all day every day, it might as well be a country music station at that point.
Well, no, it should be Levitard all day.
Levitard. Oh,
yeah. Gosh. People will love that. No, hey man, I appreciate everybody. And you know, I've always sworn that if I were to like lose a job in media, where you kind of have to almost at some point let people know, whereas, you know, if I was like a banker or something, like nobody's going to notice that I'm suddenly not talking about the same stuff as normal. I'm going to still be tweeting when there's stuff to tweet about, the same things I always have, just won't be connected with the radio station anymore. And I am at peace with it. Like, honestly, man, you've heard me talk before about life outside of radio and pondering the possibilities there. So like, this wasn't something that I hadn't even already started to kind of think about. It's just that the environment right now is not ideal, obviously, for, you know, going and kind of starting anew. But I just think that I'm going to be one of thousands that are having to do that. So yeah. I'm not alone by any means. And I'm thinking, no, I don't have a family that I have to worry about, you know, putting food on the table. And a couple of those guys do. And, you know, I worry more for them, because I can't imagine. I know I'd be feeling much differently right now, probably about everything, if I had, you know, a couple of kids and a wife to come home to. So I'm very thankful that that's just something that's going to probably occur later for me in life than it does for most people. And I've always kind of been of that attitude anyways, but yeah, could be worse, like I said. So I'm definitely staying upbeat about it a little, definitely a little bit relieved now. Ask me again in like a month and I'm maybe like a little bit more on edge. I don't know, but you know, I got a little bit of time to think some things through. And quite frankly, man, I can think things through all I want to, but you know, and everybody out there listening knows that by the time we wake up tomorrow, it could be all different again, you know, the way these last few days have gone. So, yeah, I'm just gonna roll with the punches, dude, and keep on chugging along. And, you know, maybe there will be something similar down the road one day when kind of everything resumes to normal. But again, none of us really know when that's going to be. So yeah, in the meantime, going to be on the site. And oh, I wanted to say to everybody who's like maybe sent a tweet or is wanting answers, this obviously answers the major question. I don't really have too much else to say on it, but I have not responded to anybody, not because of any particular reason other than I just don't feel like getting on social media and, you know, having those back and forth on this. I'm far more content just talking about it here and being kind of over it. But I do very much appreciate, I haven't even looked at the boards. Obviously, it's been a weird day. Yeah. So I haven't really looked around too much. But to anybody who's had anything to say, then thank you very much. And not I, but we all certainly appreciate it. So there you go on that front, man.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to your AEW debut. Yes. When it comes back.
Well, I got to tell you, man, they're, you know, dealing with it as well. They're having to do shows in empty arenas and freaking WrestleMania. Like, I don't know that people quite comprehend. And there's been a lot of things with a very big magnitudes that we've had to comprehend here as of late. But just for me, a lifelong pro wrestling fan, to know that WrestleMania that regularly draws like at least 70,000 people, if not larger, you know, has drawn 100K for shows. It's the biggest show. And for it to be moved to their tiny little performance center, even though it's a very nice performance center in Orlando, Florida, when there's going to be no fans, it's just, it blows my mind, dude. It blows my mind. And that's happened a couple times, but that one for me is just like, whoa. So yeah, they, I mean, even that business, anything that's traveling, touring, live, entertainment, whatever it may be. I mean, food industry, obviously, drive through, everything is getting hit in some type of way right now. So I just, I'm wishing the best for everybody, keeping my fingers crossed for everybody out there.
Definitely, definitely. So why don't you tell us about this eerie Kansas City experience that you had to, you know, go to, and then it gets canceled like the day y'all get there, I guess, or the day after y'all get there.
Yeah, so I actually left a day early. I went out last Wednesday. I didn't do the show that day and flew out from DFW in the morning. And like I said earlier, dude, I was pretty uneasy about this trip. I can't quite explain it. I just, you know, had a weird feeling about it. And that's not something that I get all the time, but normally when I get it, there's something to it. And so anyways, just powering through, you know, how we all got to do, and got out there. And just the vibe when I got out there at the, like, the Big 12 hotel, you know, everybody was kind of acting like things were normal, but it wasn't normal, you know, like you felt something was off. And at this time, you know, like more and more news is coming out on the spread and things like that. And it just, you know, and like I had said a bit earlier as well, you know, I was kind of up on this whole thing like a few days before I think everybody really caught wind of like, oh, we all better, you know, we all better know about this thing. So I was kind of up on it at that point. And so just seeing the news that kept dropping and things like that, and then seeing that, you know, there's some decisions being made on other tournaments, you know, once I landed and started seeing like this conference has canceled their tournament, that conference has canceled tournament, it's like, oh no, man, did I just fly all the way out of here? They're not even gonna play a single game. But sure enough, you know, they kept powering through with their statements and whatnot. And I woke up that next day, or Q got in there, got into Kansas City like late that night. And when I put it like this, this is how weird it was. So he gets in there, I don't know, like 9:30, 10 or something like that. And I was like waiting around for him, and I wasn't really leaving the hotel room all that much because there wasn't a reason to. I wasn't going to that first night's games. I wasn't going to that because I was pretty beat. So, yeah, I was just kind of waiting around at the hotel. You know, I'd go downstairs, grab a bite to eat or grab a drink or whatever. And, you know, everybody was pretty much indoors. Like, it wasn't the kind of energetic sort of like packed sort of way I expected it to be, you know, for a tournament with all these schools, at least in town on night one. And it wasn't really like that. And then you'd go outside and it was just like, there was a few Iowa State fans, but outside of that, it was like pretty much nothing, man. It was really bizarre. And I was thinking, okay, well, this is my first time here. I just don't know. Like, I guess Iowa State drives here, so they get here earlier and then everybody else, you know, shows up later. But no, it was just that feeling in the air. So anyways, Q gets in that night and he's like, man, I got to get something to eat. And I said, all right, brother, there's a place apparently down the road, but I'm staying here. Cause like, it just didn't feel right going out in the public with the way everybody was talking. And I did go downstairs a couple occasions again. And sure enough, like a couple people would walk by, but pretty much nobody on the streets of downtown Kansas City, which is just nuts. And sure enough, that night was when the Rudy Gobert news dropped, and that was the game changer. I mean, that was the story that whenever this is put in, you know, Wikipedia, or it's probably, which has probably already happened, but you know, whenever there's a page about coronavirus and its effect, Rudy Gobert will have his own chapter and the effect on sports, and then subsequently all the other industries as well. And once that hit, I was just like, there's no way they're going to have a tournament. And we waited on word. We were both just sitting there watching SportsCenter in our hotel rooms that night. And all it was about was Rudy Gobert. Then you start to learn more about how this thing travels and how many people could have already been exposed to it, and that, you know, you're incubated for, or the incubation period is like 17 days. So I'm sitting here right now at this very moment, Grayson, thinking like, you know, for all I know, I could have been to Kansas City airport and picked it up and still wouldn't know it just yet. And that's what's frightening about it and why we got to be really careful. But sure enough, that night, still no word from the Big 12. And then that morning, I woke up, saw a tweet, Texas Tech and Texas are warming up. And I was like, man, they're really going through with this thing. And, you know, it wasn't but like 45 minutes later, something like that, the word came out that they were canceling it. And the weird part was that Q and I were actually doing our show that day because it was game day from like the team hotel. So we took like a 20-minute Uber over to the hotel. And I think we got word like maybe right before the show started. And so as you can imagine, that was a really weird show to do. And there was nobody in that lobby other than like a few Baylor personnel that would kind of walk in and out every once in a while. And other than that, man, it was just ghost town. And they had the bus warming up outside. The men were leaving at like 6 that night, and they were all just, I guess, cooped up in their rooms. And obviously they were also dealing with something that we'll talk about, which is the cancellation of their season, man. So I'm sure they were holed up for good reason. And it was just bizarre, dude. It was just so bizarre, and I'll never forget like this last 5 days, almost moment for moment. It's been so strange. And sure enough, so when the tournament was announced and we started kind of getting our show and realized that everything's getting canceled, we were luckily able to get a flight out that night. And so I was really worried about going to the airport, but it wasn't bad at all. It was pretty dead because I think everybody was probably still trying to figure out what they were doing. And we went ahead and just said, hey, we got to get out of here. And part of that was because I had said so many different things to these guys over the last couple of days about this, about, you know, what happens if they cancel and things like that, that we were kind of prepared for the idea that it could happen. And we were able to get out of there. And yeah, that was, I know I'm rambling today, but I don't want to get to talk again. But yeah, that was our trip to Kansas City. 27 hours I was there, less than 24 for Q, and didn't watch any basketball. Didn't even see an official like player, I don't think, or coach, but saw some of the, like the assistants, I guess, and some of the staff. But that was my first ever Big 12 tournament in Kansas City experience was the hotel and a show at the Baylor Hotel and then the airport once again.
That is absolutely unbelievable. I know I was just, you know, because I was just at home getting ready for the games to start. Obviously the Rudy Gobert news came out. And then of course, Donovan Mitchell news came out that he had been infected by Rudy Gobert. Yeah. And then, you know, there were a bunch of other ones. Tom Hanks, I think, was a first one as well. But yeah, it was crazy because I'm sitting there and it's like 10:57, I think, if I'm remembering it correctly. And I look at my phone and I think, you know, you started seeing these little conferences, you know, the Big West, the Sun Belt, they're all canceling their conference tournament. And then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger than, you know, Pac-12 ACC. And then it's like right before, I think it's like I said, like 10:57, the Big 12 tournament got canceled. And it just was, it was shocking to see that happen. Shocking to see, you know, that all these tournaments weren't going to be played. And then you're thinking, what's going to happen to March Madness? Does any of this even matter at this point now? But I got to tell you, I do have to add a funny part to it, you know, because we wanted to add a little bit of humor to it. Well, I just remember being like so down and just being like, wow, this, I can't believe this happened. And then turning on FS1 and seeing the Big East tournament saying, we don't care for an hour and yeah, playing a whole half of basketball.
Oh, that was a terrible look, wasn't it? And horrible. And that's what I was thinking too while we were at that hotel, because they had, there's like a bar in the lobby. It's really, I mean, it's a really fancy, nice place and almost like a little cottage kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but really, really cool place. So anyways, like the bar was in view of us while we were doing our ghost town show there at the Baylor Team Hotel. And yeah, that game's going on. I'm just like, okay, well, they're playing. What does everybody else know? But you know what? Like that thing eventually did get shut down way too late, obviously. Everybody who's shut down made the right call. I'm surprised it's taken some, like there's events that we don't think of that, you know, like, yesterday called it off, like UFC's finally, you know, announcing that they've called off their next couple events. They had events this past weekend, but I think we all now started to realize like how serious this really is. And it's not, you know, the government playing us like puppets, or it's, or whatever extreme, you know, theory you want to come up with, or it's not just some, you know, new version of bird flu that's not going to be that big of a, no, like this is potentially something that's really, really bad. And that's why I think you're seeing, you know, so many different shockwaves already. But yeah, that was so bizarre, man, that time there, and so bizarre to see that game going on until it finally wasn't. It was so bizarre to think the Big 12 was actually going to start playing that day. Like, I was waiting on word from them, like, there's just no way they can play, right? And then I thought, well, maybe they'll play Texas Tech, and then they'll call it quits. You know, I don't know if you were thinking about that at all.
Oh, I definitely was. I was sitting there, and I mean, just texting some of my friends about it, just like, when are they going to call this off? We're 30 minutes from tip off. What's going to happen here? And they were kind of a little bit after the other Power Fives to call it. I think it was them and maybe the ACC called it at about the same time. The other three had called it already. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, there's no way they can take the risk of having these student athletes play right now. Right. I mean, it would have been shocking. I couldn't believe the Big East did it.
Yeah, I was, you know, and I'm still kind of now waiting, you know, if because of this incubation period, you know, 3 days from now, a dude from the Big East schools could, you know, test positive. And then, that's what I think everybody had to take into account. First of all, there's people in positions of high power who are running these tournaments, and they're going to get better information than us, you know, initially 99% of the time. So when they started to take it as serious as they were, that's when I was like, okay, this is even, I was already kind of taking it serious, but now it's time to really take it serious. And so, yeah, I think you start taking into account potential lawsuits and just the mass spread. Obviously that's like the main concern, but just all of the different things that were in play. Everybody had to do it, you know, everybody had to do it. The NCAA don't want to cancel March Madness, man. You know, they're scrambling right now, figuring out how they're going to make budget next year. The NCAA is going to take a, you know, giant hit, obviously. What was that stat? Maybe you've seen it. It's like 75% of their, you know, yearly income or whatever comes, I think, from March Madness alone. Sure. Something like that. Yeah, it's some stat that has to do with like either their operating costs or their total income comes from the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, they're getting shellacked by this, as are – you know, the Farrell Center loses out on a bunch of women's games they were going to host. And now, obviously, Grayson, the big news is that two great teams, and we've talked so much about other things, we probably need to get to the teams themselves. I mean, the Baylor men will not get to see where Scott Drew's best team ever could have potentially gone. They were starting to, you know, struggle a little bit, but I know that he had confidence once tournament play got started, they were going to, you know, bounce right back and potentially go on and win this thing. And we know for the Lady Bears, I mean, it was national championship or bust. They were bound for that thing, you know, at least the Final Four. I think anybody would put their paycheck on. So, yeah, both of those seasons come to an abrupt close for thousands of athletes. You know, talking about how I was affected earlier, thousands of athletes, their dreams of playing in March Madness or the NIT or whatever, or just playing their final game and knowing that it was their final game and being able to like emotionally deal with that ahead of time rather than, hey, it's just ripped from you and you didn't know you actually played in your final game when you did. I mean, it's the ramifications of all of that is it's just mind blowing. And yeah, as a sports fan and analyst or whatever, we do wonder and we'll always wonder two giant what ifs is if Baylor could have added a couple national titles in basketball this season.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something you have to think about. I mean, the Baylor men's, like you said, had their best year probably ever under Scott Drew. That's not even a probably. This was their best year ever from a record and the way they played all year consistently for the most part. It's just tough to see that they didn't get an opportunity to get back on track. And that's kind of the biggest thing with the men's team is, you know, they kind of had a little bit of a rough finish to the season. And you were kind of sitting there like, okay, let's see if these guys can finish strong. Because now we're just sitting here like, oh, they had a rough finish to the season. You don't actually get to see if there was, you know, a rebound or a redemption or whatever. And that's really tough. And I'm sure that's got to be tough for the guys on the team as well. Now, as far as the women's go, you know, they were trying to go back to back. I mean, that's what they were trying to do point blank. And like you said, making the Final Four was an expectation. And that means you have an opportunity to win another championship. And so, you know, to see, you know, the girls on that team that have been so good, and to see Lauren Cox in her senior year not get the opportunity to go try to win back-to-back championships at Baylor, is really tough to see as well. And I feel for all of them. The problem with them is they played their whole season, and it was just the postseason part left, like the most important part of the season that you've been working your way towards, that they don't get an opportunity to try to get. And so, listening to Scott Drew's press conference yesterday was really a tough listen. And if you haven't listened to it, go listen to it, because it was tough to listen to, you know, 28 minutes of answering questions about, you know, these seniors and this team and, you know, what they had an opportunity to do and weren't able to go compete for it.
Yeah, it's so tough, man. I put out a tweet that actually when we're on our way, I think, back to the hotel to pack up and, you know, rush out of Kansas City, and it just listed all of the seniors on both the men's and the women's teams, and just like a thank you, basically. Man, some really good players who are not going to be able to finish off their careers and not going to be able to see what, you know, March Madness held in store for them. And, you know, Lauren Cox, she doesn't get to play in her final game. Freddie Gillespie won't get a chance. And I know there's talk from the NCAA about, you know, what they are going to do with these spring sports. Now, I don't think basketball is going to be included, because the only thing they did miss was the postseason. And I understand that everybody would like to replay that or whatnot. I just don't foresee that, because you're also talking about people who played in like 30-plus games as seniors. And so, I mean, yes, they missed the most important part. And I'm not saying this is what I would do, but just logistically, I wouldn't be surprised if seniors aren't allowed back, right? Although I know there's talk about in other sports them being able to maintain the year that they would have been playing under this year. So, you know, for Freddie Gillespie, for Ovin Mokiki, for Lauren Cox, Juicy Landrum, La Vega's own Juicy Landrum, Waco's own, just brutal, man. Absolutely brutal. And I feel so much pain in my heart for them, just as competitors, you know, that spirit that we all have, to just have it ripped away from you like that with no forewarning. You know, like, I'm sure that somebody on the women's staff maybe said, hey guys, wash your hands, or let's be careful. Or, you know, I'm sure that maybe there was a passing mention of it, but even at that time going into the tournament, there wasn't really a feeling until I got to Kansas City that was a legit feeling, other than my own just sort of feelings on the matter, that really indicated that was a possibility, you know. And it just happens so quickly. So I really feel for the coaches as well. And, you know, everybody involved, the trainers and everybody. But that would have been a big deal for Kim Mulkey to go win, you know, another national championship, and just to finish their run that they were on, finish these last few games you have with these girls, you know. And same thing for Scott Drew, the what if. But, man, if anybody can handle this, and if anybody will handle the coronavirus epidemic, pandemic, whatever we're calling it, or whatever you want to refer to it as, Scott Drew will handle it better than anybody on this planet. I don't have any doubt about that. That is the most – folks, I just got to say, that is the most genuine person in the entire world. Like, legit. You know, you hear that about people and you're like, oh, I will swear that on anything. He is so legit, man. And, I feel for him and Kim and everybody. It's really hard to process, you know. Like, there's so much that we're all kind of thinking about that it's just hard to kind of process. Like, just that story, Grayson, by itself is gigantic, much less all the other things that have taken place with all the other leagues, all the other, you know, dramas that have occurred. Just that the tournament alone, man, that being canceled, and probably no real end to a season for anybody who was a senior this year. It's just it's really hard to imagine this is real life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a world where there's no NCAA tournament and where the NBA season is ended way short, and a world where we're sitting here on March 18th and there are some serious doubts about, you know, whether the, you know, the what's going to happen with football even. I mean, you know, I've been thinking about this as well. You know, you move forward And let's say things continue this way into July. I mean, are you really going to let kids only have a month to prepare and then run them out on a football field? I mean, same with NFL players with no spring train, like no spring camp or no fall camp, you know, no extra workouts because you're not allowed at a facility. I mean, there's a lot to think about with that as well. And so I know that's a ways out, but it's still just something that I know I've been thinking about too. And like you mentioned, guys not being able to complete seasons, you know, thinking about teams that didn't even get to really start their seasons. I mean, baseball didn't even enter conference play this year. And tennis got one of the best recruits ever, and we didn't even get to see him in Jensen Brooksby. And so there's just a lot of storylines that are just really, really sad to see. The year of the bear completely ruined in what, in my opinion, would have for sure taken over as the year of the bear. It's just, it's really overwhelming and really one of those things that is just, as a Baylor, someone that covers Baylor and someone that graduated from Baylor, it's really, really tough to see this and to see the strides the athletic department made and to see it basically just get completely ruined. It stinks.
Yeah, I mean, multiple Big 12 coaches of the year. Probably we're going to have, you know, potentially a coach or two nationally of the year as well. And still could have that, you know. I mean, there's still some awards to be announced, but it's not the same. It's not the same as if, you know, there was some kind of a conclusion to the season. And, yeah, I mean, it's so hard, you know, when talking about this to mention everything because, you know, I go on a spiel about just the men and women in basketball, but then as you point out, there's sports that they're fortunately at least going to probably have the opportunity to come back next year. But even then, like, that just throws such a wrench in your life plans. In like, some players may want to go start a family now that originally were like, hey, I'm going to play my final year and then I'm going to go take this job or I'm going to go do this or I'm going to go travel to Europe or whatever. And now it's like just everybody's calendar's messed up now. And yeah, they're going to have such, I mean, depending on how long this lasts. And that's, you know, that's the biggest question is, how long until we actually do see a sport play again, which could be 2 months from now, could be 5 months from now for all we know. Like, at some point, though, everything will return to normal. And when it does, like, what kind of a logjam is there going to be in ironing out season starting and what year people are even in or, you know, all of that kind of detail stuff? Like, that's going to be just a complete train wreck to have to iron out all that if this does proceed to continuously delay things. And that's kind of the trajectory that we're on right now. And maybe you saw it, but as far as like breaking news and on football as well, the latest tweet from Baylor football, did you see that?
I did not.
Well, they are announcing the cancellation of Pro Day, which is something that I've been kind of expecting, and also the spring game. So the green and gold game and the pro day have both been canceled, and that is a bummer, but that also cannot really come as a surprise to anybody, I wouldn't think, based on kind of where we are mid-March. Even if you – like, I had some hope that maybe by around May, you know, we'd start to see something going, but, yeah, that's obviously not – more not great news, but the statement, it says, Baylor football, in accordance with recent NCAA, Big 12 conference, and Baylor University developments, has made the decision to cancel both Pro Day and the Green and Gold game. More information will be provided as it becomes available. We appreciate everyone's patience and understanding during this unprecedented time. Unprecedented is certainly the word for it. And this is also a day, Grayson, for those who may be like balking even a little bit, which I doubt anybody really is at this point, but we did have like 4 cases confirmed in Waco, and there were 0 yesterday. But like I said, with the incubation period and also our lack of testing at the moment, we're going to be like, expect more numbers as we go along here. Like, we're not in the height of the numbers. That's just naturally, we're going to learn more of those as we move forward, and then we'll hopefully peak and then go back down again. But there's a lot of unknowns right now. And so, yeah, we've been Corona free in Waco up until today, and then basically wake up to the news that there's like 4 cases already out of nowhere. So yeah, I like I said, no surprise, although disappointing news.
Yeah, definitely. And the four cases, I saw that earlier today as well, and like a bunch more getting tested, I think. I mean, yeah, the numbers aren't anywhere near accurate right now because, like you said, the incubation period, and that is like one of those things that makes it really, really scary. And so, you know, obviously we're younger in that younger demographic, so it kind of makes things, I guess, not as scary. But the bigger part is, who are you spreading all of these things to? So, yeah, it's just it's social distancing right now. That's something that we have to continue to work on, and hopefully that helps get things going back in the right direction and gets these Baylor athletics back on track. And I know mid-April is when they're saying the end of the dead period will be for recruiting. I kind of expect that to be extended, to be honest, because I can't see them taking a risk of bringing kids on campus things are still going on.
Well, yeah, and especially when you've already announced that graduation has been postponed, and you've basically booted everybody off campus as of yesterday. Like, that was the other thing. Today, all these cases are finally announced in Waco, and yesterday they had made the announcement that, yeah, graduates aren't going to be walking that stage in May, and you know that you basically shouldn't be on campus unless you have really truly zero other option. They don't want you on campus right now. They don't want you coming back to get your stuff right now. They want to be able to formulate a plan and, you know, try to probably keep it as orderly as possible when they do allow people to come back to grab all of their belongings and whatnot. But yeah, you've got the concern of, gosh, especially college campuses. When you talk about germs and spreading and no spacing, there's reason for universities, schools in particular, to certainly be on top of this, and it's very strange, but that's just the way it's got to be right now.
Yeah, and with everyone that went on spring break,
you seen those videos too?
Yep, seen them all. It is not social distancing whatsoever.
That is not social distancing. You're right. That phrase, we're gonna grow to hate that so much if we haven't already.
Oh yeah.
Social distancing. But yeah, I mean, can you imagine, were you a May graduate?
I was, yep.
So can you imagine like what this final semester must be like for the students and the athletes? I mean, but just the students as a whole, they have no normal right now. No, I mean, nobody does, but like your final semester being this way, they will have some great talks with the, whatever the class would have been. I guess it was like the 2016 class or the 2015 class that the scandal hit right in their final semester and unfolded. So that was pretty memorable, but this will certainly be memorable for those guys and gals as well. And that stinks for them, man. It really does.
Man, 2016 graduates must have had it really tough, you know. Oh, that's right. I was a 2016 grad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I was right there for that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fun times. But this is way worse.
Well, then you do have a first-person perspective on it.
I do.
Funny that you actually did there. So yeah, what was that like? And can you kind of, I guess, it's not the same, obviously. It's much different circumstances, but just having your final semester train wrecked basically is the commonplace here.
Yeah, I mean, that was really, really tough. And I mean, going to what was it? So I guess it was the end of the 2015 season is when you kind of started to hear all that stuff. You know, I think I would have felt worse had I been a 2017 graduate, just because of the fact that, you know, Art got fired in May right after I had graduated. So, I mean, we kind of saw some stuff. Obviously, things were coming out, but we didn't. No one actually believed it. No one actually thought that anything was going to happen. No one thought that it was going to be, you know, super crazy. You're just hearing it from your friends, like joking with you about these things. Now, if I was, you know, still going to school there the next year and I was going to games and the 2016 year I was going to games, but my goodness, if I was a student, it would have been just absolutely miserable because it was like doomsday after the first six games. But I wouldn't say it was quite the same just because of the fact that, you know, it didn't really super impact the football season or anything along those lines. So I don't think people were as cautious or whatever. Now this, you got to get off campus. if you're a senior, you're looking for a job, that makes things really, really difficult. I mean, it's just it. Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine the anxiety this is going to cause if you're a senior right now.
Yeah, and just again for everybody, you know, like I saw Amy Padgett tweeting earlier today about having, you know, a pretty anxious moment or having a little bit of a, you know, I guess panic attack or whatever you want to call it. And I think there's going to be a lot of people dealing with those types of things, you know, right now, because there's just a lot of who knows. And that's why community is so important. That's why it's good that when, you know, the Baylor men learn the news of their tournament being canceled and their dreams being dashed, that they had Scott Drew and, you know, all of those tremendous assistants and trainers and everybody. And as family, they took that big team picture that they put out on social media. And it was really cool to see because, like, hey, they're there together. They're, you know, staying together through a really tough time, even though we're told they're probably too close in that picture. That is not proper social distancing in that picture. But, it's something where we're all going to have to lean on each other, man. We really are. Like, we were able to craft these very selfish lives for ourselves because we have so much at our fingertips that we can kind of like cocoon ourselves and have still all of the entertainment and all of the interaction and all of that. And we're going to have a lot more to do at home nowadays than people who have had to go through this before, certainly, but you need people to lean on eventually and to be there for you. So hopefully this brings people together in a good way, you know, cause we're all everybody, even if you're not being directly affected, somebody in your family, or somebody that family member, somebody's being affected. And we're all just going to have each other's backs as best we can. And just be smart, man. I got to tell you, Grayson, one thing that really flipped me out, made me even more coronavirus paranoid now that I'm thinking about it. So it was already on my radar, but we're coming back from KC now. It's very much on my radar, obviously, because it just caused me to stay in Kansas City for 27 hours and come right back. But the number of dudes at Love Field not washing their hands, man. Like, it's frightening that grown people at this time still refuse to do something as simple as that. And it's no surprise that, you know, this thing is so scary because there's a bunch of people walking around and like just don't care for anything other than what their own, you know, personal joy is and not thinking of others at all. We got to think about each other right now. When you're at the grocery store, you've heard the tales about old people getting like trampled basically so that people can grab groceries. They're just having difficulty with it. They need people having their backs, man, to help them, you know, keep on keeping on as well. So just like, I think we're going to come across a lot of instances in life where we're going to have to kind of be there for each other. So hopefully we can do that. But yeah, that's just something I felt like saying, because I felt like I think about reached our tipping point socially of being able to like dwindle down to just individuals, you know what I mean? Like have these completely just single lives. And now it's like, hey, we all got to kind of band back together. And we saw some teams on Baylor's campus this year that were the best example of pulling together. You know, that men's team fought so hard, played such great defense, and was just such a tough out for anybody. That women's team was just so dominant, so talented. And we don't really know on baseball and softball and A&T. We know they were tremendous, but they won't get a national title this year either because their season came to a close. And the list goes on and on and on of all the ways that this is having an impact. And, I know I'm talking a lot, but this has been a very weird 4 or 5 days for sure.
Yeah, it has. And, I mean, now, I've also been kind of sitting here and they came out with the Naismith Coach of the Year finalist list. So I'm like, are they going to actually announce a winner? Like, is that something that they're going to do?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, there seems to be like this movement by some sports organizations to kind of keep some news going, you know, the NFL deciding to keep going forward with free agency, I think was huge just for all of our psyches to have that. So yeah, I think any way that people could still kind of keep news out there and keep the pulse going, you know, I think they're going to do that. And they're running out because there's only so many awards you can give out. And after that, who knows? But yeah, I mean, if you can still give away things like that, I think enough of the season was played that you could probably name a coach of the year, although the biggest question marks obviously wouldn't have been answered.
Yeah, and I know Scott Drew made that list. He's in the final four, so of the finalists. So that could be some good news if he's sure. able to win it. I know everyone pretty much thinks the favorite is Anthony Grant, the Dayton coach, but that would obviously be a nice award if Scott is able to get it. I know that I've been seeing Kansas tweets, and I've heard, you know, one of my Kansas friends saying that Kansas should get a national championship for this year because they finished AP number one. I don't think they should, because no. I think if you're going to do that, then you should give the Milwaukee Bucks a finals trophy. You should give anyone that had a good regular season a trophy. So I don't think so, but I thought that was kind of an interesting thing as well, that people are trying to find a way to get awards out of this, get some sort of conclusion to the season.
I can guarantee you, it's such not a surprise, I can guarantee you some program out there, when everything gets back to normal, which is such a weird thing to have to really say in real life, but somebody's going to raise a banner when all is said and done and say it's going to say 2019 or 2020 national champions. It might be UCF. They've been known to do it before. Or somebody's going to copy off of UCF and do it, I can guarantee you. But, yeah, it's really wild. And I guess what Baylor men finished number 5 on the season. So a top 5 finish. And that's still, you know, that's as much as you could have hoped for, you know, outside of the ultimate goal, obviously. But at least it's a little something to nibble on, that top 5 finish to put in the program guide moving forward.
Definitely.
So, man, basketball grinds to a halt. Baseball grinds to a halt. Everything pretty much grinds to a halt. I know there is some news out there, however, and recruiting's been shut down as of a couple of days ago as well. That was something else that came out, so no visits. Like, basically, we're all just supposed to stay away from each other for a while. But on the recruiting front, I do know that you've got some tidbits over there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just because they can't come, you know, recruits can't come on campus because it's a dead period, that does not – what they basically did, the concession that they've allowed, is you can have phone calls, you can exchange text messages, you can, you know, FaceTime, you can pretty much do everything except actually come in contact with a recruit. And that's great, because that allows contact to continue to flow and allows teams to kind of put out offers still and things like that. So that's really big. April, this is going to last until mid-April. This, you know, dead period. Baylor put out 3 offensive line offers on Monday. They put out a athlete offer today. So they're still trying to go around and get out some offers and stay, you know, interested and allow these, you know, kids to continue to stay interested in what Baylor has to offer. I know one of the bigger things that came out today was the updated recruiting rankings for 2022. That's obviously gets people interested as well. Baylor had 27 of their offers were inside the top 247 type deal. So they were, that was pretty good. And then I believe 11 of them were in the top 100. So Baylor's been doing some good things still on the recruiting trail. That's just a matter of really evaluating talent, because a lot of the guys that they offered were the first offer for the same guys that are inside this recruiting ranking. So that's one of the bigger news that has come out today. Other than that, it's pretty much just trying to get out offers for 2021, trying to evaluate talent still, even without testing times, even without a lot of things really. So, that's kind of where we're at. And as far as 2020 guys, that's the real tough part right now, is how are they going to finish off this 2020 class that they had more spots to fill? Nice. And are guys just going to take the leap of faith, or how's that going to work when they get to the end of this? So yeah, that's kind of where we're at on the recruiting front, but definitely I'm trying to keep my eye on the 2020 part, how they're going to fill that out without being able to bring guys in on visits that need to take a visit to see what Baylor is like. So yeah, it's really tough. But one thing we do know is that, you know, recruiting's never going to stop. So they're going to have to take a class regardless. And so that's kind of been one of the things that I've been kind of just trying to keep my ear to the ground with, is trying to figure out any recruiting, any and all recruiting information I still can, because obviously that's the biggest thing going on right now.
Yeah, most definitely. It truly is the it's not a sport, obviously, but it truly is the activity that never ceases. Not even coronavirus can totally shut down recruiting. It's amazing. But yeah, man, it's going to be weird to see how, you know, the season eventually unfolds and when they're actually able to kind of get back to it, but not ideal for a coach with a brand new staff in his very first year. But I feel like maybe that's some stuff we can use to talk about next week, because obviously no spring football is going to have a major impact on this team. Also everybody else's, but in particular, especially brand new coach, brand new staff, brand new way of doing things. And what are you going to have? You're going to have 2 weeks before the season starts to get ready. You're going to have a couple months. What are you going to have at this point? We don't really know. When does the season start? You know, on time or what? Like, we don't know. So at some point they're going to have to get some training in. So maybe we'll talk about that next week, Grayson, because certainly we're going to be ears to the ground on recruiting, but also just talking about the team as much as we can, best we possibly can, while we have this this time to do so, and as we normally would be doing during this time of year anyways, just no spring ball activity to actually talk about. So, man, have we missed anything?
No, nothing really. And I know as far as the questions go, the main podcast question that I got was the only one that I really got was my number one question at this point is just about 1660 and the Smokies. And you answered that at the beginning, but that was the main question.
Yeah. So at some point I'll go back on Twitter and like take that off my profile, like, you know, everybody has to do. But I will not. And I think I started to say this and then I got distracted or something, or I just did what I typically do and think about too many things at once. But you will not be seeing me put out like the notes picture like a recruit does announcing my departure or nothing like that. Like,
I no announcement.
No announcement for that, or I'm not looking for any attention. Just that was what happened, man. This coronavirus has hit everybody, and it hit some jobs in Waco today for sure, and we'll probably hit a few more, but hopefully not too many, and everybody will bounce back sooner rather than later. But yeah, that's just what's the current situation is. So there you go.
Then I think you answered it. That's pretty much all for the questions, and I guess that's all for this week, huh?
Yeah, that's going to do it for this week. We did adhere to the CDC guidelines because for the first time ever, and I'm sure people have picked up, like, it probably just sounds different because it has to sound different. It's a totally different thing than we've been doing, but we did this with me in Waco, and are you back in San Antonio now?
I am right now with family.
Yeah, so did not meet at the Container for the very first time, but hopefully we'll be back there soon enough. So yeah, that'll do it this week. Hey, Grayson, man, good to talk to you, and we'll just keep in touch and be looking out for some news as well.
Definitely. And like I said, recruiting never stops. So continue to follow that, because we're going to keep pushing out notes on that. That's going to be kind of one of our main things, as well as, like Craig was saying, you know, the Mount Rushmore type things, or talking about the season in general. We're going to continue to push out quite a bit of content, as we always do on the site.
Yeah, and I'll probably be a bit more active now on the site, more than I was. So definitely I have some more time to be a bit more active, and we'll be talking to everybody over there, because like I was kind of rambling on about, it's a new reality today for everybody, but especially for me, because it's like a life-changing type of a day. But that's why I kind of went on that spiel about sticking together. And that just, I would say that even if today was a bit different, but today just a fitting day to do so. So everybody be smart. Don't be that dude's like, no, man, if I get it, I get it. I don't care, man. I got to go party or whatever. Just stay away from each other for a little while so that we can all come back together again at some point in the very near future. Grayson Grunhafer, thanks as always, man. We'll talk very soon. I'm Craig Smoke, and this has been Trust the Podcast. Stay safe, everybody, on Sikkim365.com.